Hi, welcome to today's update on what's great in the art world. I was really lucky this weekend to have a look at some of the fine art students in their last show that they're going to be doing as their degree here in our new university, Oxford Brookes. One of the great chances I got here was to actually talk to the artists who'd created the work and see what was behind the work they'd created. And in some cases, the work was huge in ambition. So it was wonderful to know that having a strong why, a strong motivation to making the work, was enabling them to do these huge life-sized oils and also sculptures that were just so impressive. So I'm giving you a quick rundown of what I saw in case some of it triggers some ideas in your own practice. The dynamic nature of the show was immediately present in Jessica Dickens' iconic work that suspended three blocks of ice that were left to slowly melt onto the floor like decay. And this was next to Hannah Burrow's similar work, where vivid coloured lines of wet paint dropped like slime from the ceiling along strings, landing onto the floor in a big colourful mess that was really tempting to touch, but also repelling because it was very slimy. And this contrast was really engaging. In the background to this was the sound of water swishing, and this was a multi-sensory experience that continued throughout the show. The walls were also lined with ice, slowly melting, again decay happening throughout the installation. In this very modern show, the traditional fine art painting technique was represented by Catherine Summers' work, who used a diverse range of brushstrokes in painting closed eyes. And this was to look at her fascination with sleep, and it was entitled Rapid Eye Movement. The full face was represented nearby in a contrast by Beth Brooks' Constellation, where monochrome black and white images of faces had a layer of sparkle, sort of little diamonds that were stuck inside them. The variety of textures was seen throughout the show, but notably in the dirt and bone fragments, and these were photographed by Ellen McAlevey. She used a richly layered technique to have a look at bones that had been washed and then made dirty, and this was entitled In Memoriam. Nearby, Amy Dyer demonstrated technological overload by using a busy repetition of square-shaped graphites. This immediately demanded attention. The small boxes were like little pixels on a screen, and alternatively, she used very random collage qualities to present her work, and it was just very hard to walk away from it, very gripping. I stepped into one room and immediately there was the noise of a spring coiling. This was all part of the accomplished installation by Holly Daisy Broughton. And on display on a platform were the wire coiled springs of a naked mattress, all the fluff taken away from it. On the wall were hung charcoal sketches of the coils. The room was unlit, so it only let in the grey natural daylight, and this gave the work a very shadow overtone. And this matched the inspiration because of the artist's long time she spent recuperating in bed from chronic illness, and the mood of that was evoked by the work. And the sense of confinement from this was echoed in another artist, Anne Hoxie's intriguing film called Self-Contained 2. And this was playing in a bell jar nearby, and it was a talk of a lady revealing about the impact of somebody not telling the truth to her and how having an open relationship was very difficult. It was full of brutal honesty and a very magnetic work that looked into self-esteem and the devastating effect of betrayal. And this personal connection that we make with art was also shown figuratively in digital portraits by Rachel Dent in her touching work entitled Gratitude to the Eternal God. And these portraits were made to thank a group of people that made her feel for the first time part of a social group. And she made these connections while playing Dungeons and Dragons. The corridor itself was permeated by the sound of someone breathing very heavily, almost as they were having a full body release, and these echoes were from Rosamund Yip's work. So Rosamund pulled her body over a sheet of white paper, having charcoal in her arm and smearing the charcoal onto the white paper, and this was entitled Separation of Consciousness. A video was there to have a look and see how the paper was made, and the textures involved were very impressive. And opposite it was a tiny room by Charlotte Hazel, presenting predetermined perception, and here 3D shapes appear to move towards the eye and also be suspended in midair because of the illusion created by the black and white fractal graphics that she had plastering the wall, and it showed the power of an image that can upturn preconceived reality. One of the films on show was by S.R. Lawson. It was a 6-minute film and showed his interactions with a robot he made. It was a life-size little man, but the size of about a hand. And as Lawson, the artist, tweaked the robot during the film, we saw the little robot take on a life of its own, have curiosity about the world outside. And nearby this was art by Karma Lama. And Karma Lama used a heavy sepia tone to denote a bold urban style, and the tones of colour really had a feeling of dirt, and the broad brush strokes were very similar of an immediacy that is very familiar in the homeless world, and I think this is the characters that he was bringing out. Next to this are Olivia Wheatley's textured blue canvases that use big contrasts in the colour tones, and that generated an unusual sculptural quality in a piece of two-dimensional art. In the building, the Richard Hamilton building that I saw this show at, the busy foyer area used a notice board to display sections of personal letters that were written in black ink on transparent paper. And this was by Alice Preston, and her work was called Close Reading. One of the installations I warmed instantly to, just because of the sheer humanity and unstoppable honesty, was Beth Arscott's installation of flesh-coloured tights all hung on a wall next to a pink wig and scattered cheap makeup all placed on the floor. And this was called Ecstasy Beyond Pleasure Series, and it stood next to Karen Christina Hurley's embroidery, where she used tiny details to create botanical images onto fabric. Sandy Clough's work was called Oceanic Cries, and here a colourful plastic waste is all shaped into what looked like a beautiful sea urchin's tail that exploded from the corner of the room. And then nearby, through a draped doorway, Christine Surridge used a softly focused film to show words dissolving and reforming, and this was a response to loss, and it was entitled When Words Become Immaterial. To contrast this, nearby, Danielle Clark portrayed everyday reality on a life-sized oil painting, and this was called K in the Cafe, which showed the routine of studying a cafe as an immortal experience. On a much larger scale, Oriane Pierpoint captured elderly people in a profound moment of thought, using fine lines and great detail to create these black and white portraits. The world of nature-inspired escapism was the experience on offer by Abigail Lark in her Lavender Hour, and this used polystyrene beads underfoot as fake snow, and this was side-lit with violet hues as soft winds blow opaque nets draped from the ceiling over the viewer, and lights from the ceiling were toned to imitate sunlight reflecting off the snow. And this echoed T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, and I felt very strongly grateful to the generosity of this artist in designing such a blissful analogy of freedom. I returned to this work 3 times. The immersive quality of art is further represented in other works on the show. And this include Andra Stavarash's film called Hydroself, where a woman is treading water and there's a soundscape that accompanied this, and the film leaves us with the note, "We are all bodies of water." Nearby, Mariana Acevedo's Velux book presents the textures of nature in finer detail, and this includes reflections bouncing off water and movements of clouds passing. In a similar vein, only slightly darker, was a triptych of paintings by Freddie Davis showing a darker journey through nature. This had a blue-black inky canvas entitled The Eye of the Night. And nearby, Catherine Small's textured fabrics mounted on the wall literally popped out at the viewer with wrinkles and a dynamic that suggested movements of the body. So in the connecting space, the dynamic multi-layered oversized blue canvases by Sibte Shahid had bold text swirling on the surface, and text was used in a number of contexts throughout the show. In her work Flowers, Jasmine Stonehewer offers expansive instructions for each month, and in this wall-mounted collage, January reads, "Expect a bright star, be careful, watch the olive tree." Lines of text are used by Laura Barton Fox in a rolling digital display, with each sentence that she writes referring to inner conflicts and personal judgments that would end in a limited experience of life, and this is reflected in the minimal installation that is offered. It's freeing to read such destructive comments openly revealed in a public setting. The darker side of social media is explored in Emily Hawkins' installation. A small room becomes mildly intimidated as voices of men narrate their intentions by reading out their Tinder statuses that are also projected onto the wall. If the intentions of all the graduates in the show is to expand our love of art and our personal connection with it, then they've done the job beautifully, and the art world feels much more spacious and expansive after engaging with these fresh ideas. Hopefully this has given some insight and something useful to work with your own practice. Do feel free to leave me any comments. If you've enjoyed this, do follow and do share with any friends. Wishing you a great weekend. Talk to you soon.